I was at a library this past week with the kids, and my kids were being like really loud, and the librarian didn't care about that, but she didn't want them to run. She's like, please walk. It's like, okay, yes, I promise. We'll work on it. So I have been reading this book by A.W. Tozer. Anybody know the name A.W. Tozer? It's an Alliance pastor, author. I think he died in the late 60s, so it's a little bit ago. But he had a quote, and of course, when I was trying to look for the quote today, I couldn't find it in my book, so I wrote it in my notes. But he wrote a book called God Tells the Man Who Cares. God tells the man who cares. God speaks to those who take time to listen. But one of the quotes that he has in this book, it says this. He says, the world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God. That kind of makes sense. We sort of understand the need to help people experience the knowledge of God, go evangelize, go share our faith. But then he says this. He says, the church is famished for want of his presence. The church is famished for the want of God's presence among us. And I thought this was a day, a great day on Pentecost Sunday, the day when we sort of celebrate the beginning of the church. Emmanuel and the worship team led us very well and going to continue to lead us here in a moment on what this day means, where the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers after the death, resurrection of Jesus. The believers were gathered in this room and the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were empowered for life and for ministry. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to do that for us today as well. I love the song we just sang, Miracle Worker, that the Holy Spirit is a promise keeper. Jesus is a promise keeper, right? So the same promise that he had to those first believers actually applies to our lives today. There's a picture of maybe what happened there in that day. Tongues of fire fell on the believers' heads. But I was also, in addition to that quote, I was reading scripture, and another just scrap of a passage came to me, and I want to apply it to this idea of Pentecost. And it comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27:7. Read this with me, friends. A person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. Just a proverb, just a word of wisdom that can be applied, you would say, in normal circumstances, not always applied in every circumstance. I think that this proverb could have multiple meanings. One way to read it could say a person who is full, let's say a person who's economically wealthy, right? If they've got money, they've got everything they need, hey, they're going to refuse honey. They're going to refuse maybe the things of God, or they're going to refuse other good things. But hey, if you don't have a lot, anything is going to taste sweet. That could be one way to sort of read it. But I want to look at it a little bit a different way. I want to kind of say, hey, a person who is full of God, a person who is full of the Holy Spirit, let's go back to that passage, Bosco, refuses, let's say, the honey of the world. What does it look like for us if we were filled with God to refuse the honey of the world? But if we're hungry, if we aren't full of God, if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, then even the bitter things, even the things the world has to offer that aren't good for us, they taste sweet. All right, I just wanted to kind of picture what that would look like. And I wanted you to kind of just check in right now on your heart, your soul, and say, hey, where do you feel like, you know, if you had a gauge or something, how full of you, how full of the Holy Spirit, how full of God do you feel? How close do you feel to the presence of God? And I was wrestling with that this week. I was challenged by this. I even said it in serve team prayer that sometimes I'm tempted to be filled with the honey of the world, the things of the world. Good and not always bad. I mean, yeah, there's like sin and bad things. Like you don't want to be filled with that. But like also even good things, right? time with family or friends or vacation or some hobby or work or gardening, whatever it may be, right? Good food could also be, now we always say good coffee, right, Emmanuel? All right, good coffee. Not bad things, but sometimes I get tempted to say, well, let me dabble in a little bit of this, get a little honey here, a little honey there, a little honey there, and it makes me feel full, but then I realize I'm not full. And so kind of just gauge where your heart is right now in your soul, and what does it look like to be a person full of honey? Emily and I, we were down in Tennessee this past week. We were visiting some friends, and we were downtown Chattanooga, and we went out to breakfast one day, and we had like an hour wait, and so we're standing out there on the curb, just kind of hanging out, and out there on the curb, there were about like a dozen cigarette butts. All right, you know, somebody had smoked a cigarette, and there was just probably this much left. I think it's like, I don't know anything about this, but there's the orange and then there's a little bit of white, right? And that's like what's left of the cigarette. And they were down there on the ground. And I'm not in any way trying to cast judgment or shame or anything like that. But there was a person who was experiencing homelessness. And that person went up next to us and grabbed about six of those cigarette buds that were empty and then took them and began to smoke them. Leftover cigarette butts. And it just had a picture of my mind of how often do we do that spiritually, right? We're so hungry. And in this case, maybe this man, he couldn't afford, you know, what he really needed. But for us, instead of going to the Lord, instead of going to God, we settle to go down and just take what is left over. That's the idea. That's kind of the picture I want us to think about, because I think when we're empty, we reach for these things that can't actually sustain us. We reach for approval, right? We reach for comfort or distraction. We reach for achievement or entertainment or politics, the news, success, whatever it may be, pleasure or noise. We fill ourselves with these things, but when we're actually full of God, we're going to stop craving these lesser things. And so, Bosco, if you throw up that next slide, I would say that a spirit-filled life, it actually changes our appetites. It will change our appetites. When we're full of God, it will change the things that we strive for. So, like I said, today's Pentecost. I want to look at Acts chapter 2 in a minute, but I want to actually go back to the beginning of the Bible and look at Genesis chapter 11. Anybody remember the story of the Tower of Babel? That story, the way that scripture is written is it's one thing we can do with it is compare and contrast what took place in Genesis chapter 11 all the way at the beginning of the world, right? Adam and Eve, and then you have Noah, and then now the Tower of Babel. This is right before Abraham is called by God. All the way back to the beginning, and then we'll look here and compare it and contrast it to Acts chapter 2 in a minute. But we read this in Genesis 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech, and people moved eastward. They found a plain in Shinar. They settled there, and they said to each other, hey, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone, tar for mortar. And they said, this is what they said. This is why they wanted to build what they built. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that what? We may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So they get this idea that they're kind of feeling anxious about their lives and the direction of things. And they say, hey, let's build this. And Moscow, I'm sorry, maybe you put this up there. I didn't see it. You have a picture of that or one image. Go back two slides, I think. There's maybe an image of what the Tower of Babel could have looked like. Yeah. And so they say, hey, let's build this tower and let us reach up to God. You see the direction of what they were trying to do? They're saying, hey, we think God's up here. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's go up and get God ourselves. Let's just, what I would say is humanity striving upward, building, grasping, trying to fill itself apart from surrender to God. They're saying, hey, we don't need God to get to heaven. We can get there ourselves, We can get up there ourselves. Now, what happens when they do that? Let's go to the next verse, the next passage. It says, the Lord came down to see the city, and the Lord said, hey, if as one person speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Interesting. Well, you can figure out what to make of that. God's saying, hey, they could do anything. But what God says is, hey, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth and they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. That's a story there in Genesis chapter 11. And I think one key principle of this is that humanity was never meant to sustain itself apart from the presence of God. When humanity said, hey, we're going to start doing this, we're going to try to reach God or make a name for ourselves without God, God said, no, that's not the way that I created things. That's not how I made the world to be. And so then chaos ensued. Confusion ensued. But we're not building Babels today, right? Christos, you're not building a big tower at your job, are you?
Not as far as you know.
Not as far as I know. All right, Christos, let's talk here, buddy. All right, what are you building over there? But I think we do it in our own way, right? How many times do we try to take control of our situation? Derek, I'm not going to call you out, brother, but you and I were just talking in the hallway and we were saying, hey, we do this in our own lives, right? We try to take control of things and fix things before we often say, okay, let me figure out, God, how do you want to be part of this, right? How many times do we do that in the area of work or marriage or with our kids or with our life or whatever, a financial situation? And we try to build things to hold control, to either make a name for ourselves or to think that, hey, I'm going to try to work on my spiritual life or become a better person, whatever it is, without actually giving it to God. So Acts chapter 2 paints a different picture of what's going on. Here, Jesus doesn't tell them to build. He doesn't tell them to manufacture. What he actually tells them to do is wait. So look with me at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, one occasion, this is right after Jesus' death and resurrection, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but what? Wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised. We just sang about it. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Anybody remember the Great Commission? What does the Great Commission say? Go! Yeah, go and do a bunch of stuff, right? But the Great Commission says, go. Sorry, Nita, I'll let you finish. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, but so Jesus says, hey, go do this thing, right? And we talk about that. We love the Great Commission. We talk about it all the time. But here it says, no, wait. Wait for the gift my Father has promised you. And it says they were all together. And if we go, actually, I'm sorry, go to the next passage, Bosco, in Acts chapter 2. As they're waiting, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So they're waiting. They're praying. They're surrendering. They're hungry for God to work in their lives. And what we read is that suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now that's important, each of them, because in the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit working and moving, but usually it's in one individual at one time. It's sort of random. It doesn't happen to everyone. But here, now all the believers, and this wasn't just the disciples, the 11 that were still there. This was everyone that was gathered. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And just an aside, is the Alliance, we believe in the gift of tongues. Here, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. But as we read scripture, we see people filled with the Spirit and other things happen. So it's not the only evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Here it was. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But do you see the difference? With Babel, they were going up to God. And in Pentecost, God was coming down to them. Right? Babel said, hey, let us build our lives so that we can have, you know, the things of God. And Pentecost says, we're going to wait and we're going to receive. We're going to wait and we're going to receive for the things of God. Which, just confession, I'm terrible at. I'm terrible at. I don't want to wait and receive. I want to do. Emily tells me some problem, and she's sticking her tongue at me right now because she knows as soon as she tells me something, my head is going to go, here's the 10 solutions that she should do to fix this problem. And it goes over really well. All right? It goes over really well. Right, babe? Yeah. No. I need to learn. This is like marriage advice, okay? Not only the spiritual advice here, but what does it look like for us to wait to receive when the Spirit came? Because think about the disciples. They were fearful. They were hidden behind locked doors. They waited for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled them. And now they're empowered for ministry. Read the rest of the book of Acts, and they're doing amazing things. Women, men, all sorts of people in the church. And I think one way to think about it is that Pentecost is heaven filling hungry people. If I'm going back to that idea of Proverbs 27, right? It's filling hungry people. And what I want to do is I told the team and the serve team, I'm going to preach just for a few minutes because I actually want us to press into waiting and asking the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. So I believe that this today is just an invitation for us as a church family, that I don't want us to just think about trying harder, performing better, building higher towers for our own lives. But what does it look like for us just right now to make some room, to surrender, to ask God to fill us in our lives? Sometimes when we ask God to fill us, that means we have to spend some time sort of emptying out. Maybe it is confessing our sins or the things that are keeping us flat. Sometimes just saying, Lord, I'm just in need of you. I've been trying this my own way and it hasn't been going. Or Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray, but I'm here for a few minutes and listen for your voice. We pray for me, we speak for me. Because I think all of us, and myself included, hung this deeper experience with God. Not just the knowledge of God, but the presence of God in our lives. The feeling that God is with us, that God loves us, that God is walking with us. And I think a lot of us have survived on these lesser things. Going back to the proverb, survived on the bitter things when we want to be full of God. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. And what I want to do is we're going to worship together. We're going to sing a song called Make Room. And I just want us to do that. Just make some room, make some space right now in this service. Intentionally did not preach for 45 minutes, so we have some space and time to do this. And I want us to ask God to make room in our hearts. If you need to come over here in the aisle and just sort of take a knee, you can do that. If you need to spread out a little bit, you know, Irma, if you want to lift up your hands and tell Anita, hey, scoot over a little bit or whatever, you know, you can do that. I've asked Dan and I are going to be kind of standing off to the side. And if you would like to receive some prayer during the song, you can come up to us and we would love to just lay our hands on you and just say some words of prayer. But we want to pray that God would fill our hearts, that God would fill our lives, that God would fill this church, that God would take away those distractions, those things that are distracting us, and make room. Make some room for us. So whatever you need to do, if you want to open up your hands, you want to bow your head, you want to stand up, you want to lift up your hands, you want to kneel, we're just going to take some time. You can sing with us. You can just quietly pray and reflect. But the word, the prayer, if you're going to say anything, and for some of us, sometimes it's helpful because our mind gets distracted and we don't, you know, we're in prayer and then it goes over here. It's just this line right here. Holy Spirit, fill me again. You can just pray this over and over again. Or if your mind wanders, just come back to this and say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Take a deep breath. Holy Spirit, fill me again. Lord, we pray right now that you would fill us again. That you are a promise keeper. And you promised your Holy Spirit upon those first believers, upon your church. And Lord, I just pray right now, there's some things in our hearts that we're hoping you will fulfill your promises for. But we need you to fill us. We need you to fill us. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you pour out your presence? Would we feel your presence right now in this room? Lord, would we surrender our lives and our hearts to you? Whatever that looks like, God, would you help us make room for you? Come, Holy Spirit. Fill Kairos again. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your power, your love. Come.